Welcome back to Listen in Wonder. In Season 1, we explored the many ways God speaks to us through whispers, scripture, prayer, and unexpected moments that remind us He's near. This season, we're turning our attention to a theme that touches every one of us at some point in life, God's presence in our suffering. Suffering is never easy, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual. But in the middle of pain and questions, we believe God's presence surrounds us, holds us, and even transforms us. This season, we'll listen to real stories from women who've walked through seasons of suffering. We'll ask them, what was helpful, what wasn't? How did God meet them in their pain? And how did community play a role in reminding them they weren't alone? Our hope is that these conversations will meet you right where you are, offering comfort, courage, and confidence, no matter the circumstances. You are surrounded by wonder.
Welcome back. It's Wonder Wednesday, one of our favorite days, truly, around here. It is so fun to come into the office on a Wednesday, and people have on Wonder t-shirts, new merchandise from Wonder, but there's just this like extra little joy in the air now on Wednesdays, and we affectionately on staff call it Wonder Wednesday. So it's just a great day and a beautiful morning, so I'm super excited to be back with you all and get to share a very special story with you today. So with that, I want to introduce you to my friend, Wendy. Wendy on Wonder Wednesday. That's very fun. Wendy is a member at our NRH campus, and I would love, Wendy, for you to just say hello to our listeners and tell them a little bit about modern day Wendy.
Okay. Well, modern day Wendy, let's see, man. Well, we live in North Richland Hills
and
near Huntsville, Alabama.
Two places at the same time.
In Athens, Alabama, on the Tennessee River. So
I'm coming someday. I'm just going to show up on your doorstep. I keep hearing about it, but I just want you to know.
Come on. It is just.
You already know how I take my coffee, so it's fine.
It's not a special house, but it is a special view. Like, it is just so serene and so wonderful. Mm. And God bless us with that place. Right as we were retiring from education, Fred was a special education teacher, and then he moved up into principalship, and then he became a superintendent. And
this is the fun part of the story, because it's not what he does now.
No,
you say he just retired.
No, he retired from education, and I retired from speech, debate, theater. And then I was an administrator for a few years. I worked with the homeless students and their parents. And then I went back into the classroom my last couple of years teaching in the business department at an amazing program called JAG, Jobs for America's Graduates. And it was just, you know, God has blessed me. Every job I had and every time we moved for Fred's administration upgrades or whatever, it was the perfect job. Like every single one was the perfect job. There's not a single place that I was that I can't look back and see why God had me there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I have great relationships still with all of my students. It was high school, but I have great relationships. We became lifelong friends.
Yeah.
And so that was beautiful. But Fred's story is that we've been married 36 years and together 37 now. But after we retired, he went to work for 5 years in St. Louis at a company that was food service for students. And he actually took that job because he's a pilot. He was a private pilot for himself. And then he took that job to give that company a plane. Like, they talked to him about, when you retire, we might be ready for a plane and all of that stuff. And then they used his administration skills instead, mm-hmm. and he became a vice president of that company, and they never pursued the pilot part. Yeah. And so he pursued the pilot part. He decided, okay, after 5 years, he retired from that.
Yeah.
And now he flies for American Airlines Envoy. And so...
So fun.
It's fun. He's a pilot. So he's had three major careers already in his life. And he's like, that's the last one I'm doing, Wendy. I'm not going to do something
he's
else.
He's done after that.
The other day.
Well, he also helps with WonderCon. Conference, so we'll yes. just we'll take him. We'll take all the hours he wants to give us. That's hilarious.
Yeah, but we have three amazing children.
Yes, I was going to say what you are like retired, but grandmother now.
Yes, now my full time job is grandmothering, and that's here. We have two and one on the way. Like my phone is on. If you hear it ring,
hey guys, I told her if Kelby calls, we're going to answer because we want to know if she is having contractions. Or
yes,
not.
Yes. So, and she knows I'm doing this right now.
You're welcome,
so
Kelby. You're welcome.
If she calls, then she'll be in labor. But we have two and one on the way here with Kelby. And then we have our oldest lives in the Huntsville area. He okay. lives in Athens. And they have three, a 15-year-old, a 13-year-old, wow. and a 9-year-old.
Wow.
And then we have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old here. And yeah. then the one on the way. And then near Little Rock is our third child. And mm-hmm. he is a pilot also.
I love it.
He flies for NetJets.
Okay.
And he and his wife do foster
okay.
care, and they hope to adopt one day, but they are in the process of fostering this adorable little guy
I
who,
love that.
And so we're praying for that because they, you know, they're in, you know, lots of things going on in their lives mm-hmm. with when you're foster parenting, it's a lot. So
I love that. I love hearing about that and the dynamic of your family. And I'm in my mind, I'm like, what is Christmas going to be like? Like all these kids, new baby.
Yes.
Yeah, that's so
we
sweet.
And Christmas is, it's our year for Christmas. Mm-hmm. So we are looking forward to Christmas.
We
don't know if we're going to do it here or in Alabama yet. We're still up in the air with
to be
the new
determined.
Baby here.
Yes, yeah. That is hilarious. Oh my goodness. Well, okay. Remind me, how did we meet? Was it because I knew Kelby and then everybody I know is like, do you know Wendy and Fred? Do you know Wendy and Fred?
I don't even remember.
I know. I mean, I was trying to remember
this. New Barbara, like, I think it was from Wonder Conference, to be honest with you.
You came 1 year.
Because one of my really good friends is Patty Rhodes.
Okay, this is making sense to me now. Yes, a couple of years ago, we had Patty as a guest, and she wrote the devotional book, Warrior Women,
uh-huh.
that
yes.
our women went just nuts over. I mean, it was so beautifully done, and I think just like touched hearts right where they needed to be. Warrior Women is a devotional book that you can get on Amazon by Patty Rhodes that just tells people stories, and God is the best author of our
yes.
stories. And so, yes, I think you came that year because you knew Patty.
Well, Kelby had invited me every year prior to that. To the women's conference,
okay.
and just life was happening, and we were not able to get here. Mm-hmm. And then I met Patty
mm-hmm.
in my story,
yes, so
in Little Rock, we'll circle back to that. But Patty, you know, she was like, she started talking about the Wonder Conference,
uh-huh.
and I was like, the yeah. hills?
Yeah.
In North Richland Hills?
that's where my daughter goes to worship.
Yeah. Like, it was right about the time we had moved here. And I was yeah. like, that's where we worship. And I'm definitely planning to be at the Wonder Conference. Use me.
Yes.
Have me. Anyway.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
I think that Wonder Conference is where I met you, but I'm not even sure. I don't even know.
I'm not
know.
Even sure. But, and I'm about to say something, and I realize to all of our listeners, they're going to be like, man, she does not miss a meal. And you are right. I do not miss a meal. That I love, I guess I'm a foodie. But I also just love table fellowship and getting to sit at the table with people and hearing stories. I've always loved hearing people's stories and wanting all the details.
Mm-hmm.
And I just believe that the Lord wired me that way. And so you and I remember going to the tea room with you
oh,
and
yes.
saying, I want to know your story.
Mm-hmm.
And You guys, as I was sitting there, and this is part of table fellowship and hearing people's stories, that it feels very holy mm-hmm. at moments. And that is exactly what I felt when I sat with Wendy, hearing her story. I had been through a season of loss, and you had been through multiple seasons of loss. And so as we sat there over, you know, a sampler plate at the tea room of really good quiche and yummy soup and all of that.
So good.
Like, it just was, I can only describe it as being holy. And so I'm really honored that you would share your story. I'm going to just tell you guys, if you don't have a tissue nearby, you should probably grab one. But Wendy, what part of your story would you like us to go back to start with?
Well, I think the thing that you almost have to just start at the beginning.
Yeah.
And the beginning is, I will cry.
That's okay.
Just like I did in the tea room over
cheese.
That's
all right. Yep.
Oh my goodness, I cry. But we'll go back to the beginning of when my parents were missionaries in Kenya. They both went to Harding, and they decided to go on the mission field. And they started off in Zambia. As a young married couple. Okay. I was 6 months old, and my oldest sister is 4 years older than me. So she was four.
And so they have a 4-year-old and a 6-month-old.
And went to Zambia,
wow,
Africa. And this was before FaceTime. And I mean,
know,
you had
we
to
keep
send
saying
aerograms.
That. And some of our stories were like,
yeah,
a what? A
aerogram? Aerogram. I mean, it was these, I look it up.
This isn't even a long-distance phone call.
Like Google. Yes, and you, long-distance phone calls were so expensive then.
Right.
Like you just, that was like, anyway,
yeah.
It was just crazy. But when I was six, my mother died on the mission field in mm-hmm. Kenya in childbirth. But when I was two, we came back to the States.
Okay.
And we went to Sunset School of Preaching. Mm-hmm. I didn't go to Sunset yeah. School of Preaching. I was teeny tiny, just potty training then. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I remember that part of my life. My mom had another baby there. And when we were in Zambia, my mom and dad adopted a little Zambian boy wow. when I was exactly 1 year old. So, mm-hmm. you know.
I love seeing the pictures of you and your siblings, by
yes.
the way.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Our family, I'm just mm-hmm. going to say, our family is beautiful.
Very beautiful.
Inside and out.
Yeah.
God blessed me with mm-hmm. the best family ever.
Yeah. Best. So but you have, best. Okay, I just want to recap this. You have an older sister, 4 years older.
Mm-hmm.
Then you.
Uh-huh.
Then your mom had another baby.
Then they adopted.
Okay, adopted Andrew. And then they had your sister.
And then they had my brother.
Oh, your brother first.
In Lubbock.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then we were going to go back to the mission field in Zambia.
So what's your brother's name that was born in Lubbock?
James Michael.
Okay,
and
James
he's
Michael.
At Abilene Christian.
Oh.
He and his wife have served Abilene Christian for 30 years.
Oh, Wildcats. I yeah. always like to, yeah, absolutely.
He and his beautiful wife from
South Africa.
So at
this point, there's four kids.
So there's four kids at this point.
And then you guys go back to Zambia?
We were going to go back to Zambia, and there was tribal warfare going on there, and the American government wouldn't allow us
okay.
to go.
Okay.
And so they pivoted and went to Kenya, which is where God intended mm-hmm. for us to be,
yeah.
right? I
right.
mean, he always makes a way mm-hmm. for us to be where he needs us to be. And mm. so...
Such a beautiful statement
yeah,
right there. Because even sometimes when we are going through suffering or something doesn't go according to plan, you know, I think, I mean, with human hearts and human minds, we can question, does he see me? Is he good? You know, and then... just being able to look back and recognize, oh, this was not a surprise to him, and he had a plan and a purpose. And so now you're in Kenya.
So now we're in Kenya.
And you're almost six.
And we went back to Kenya whenever I was like 4 and a half.
Okay.
And so then my mom gets pregnant in mm-hmm. Kenya,
mm-hmm.
and she shouldn't have had a baby in Kenya, but I have to keep reminding myself God's plan
right.
is perfect.
Right.
And he knew way before we knew that this was going to happen.
Yeah.
But, and he prepared us for all of this. But anyway, she had Malaika in Kenya, and she had an aneurysm.
Your mom had an aneurysm.
Yeah, my mom had an aneurysm when she was giving birth and ended up not making it. And so Malaika was born August 30th.
What does Malaika mean?
Malaika means angel, and that wasn't the name they had for her. But when Mama died the day after she was born, my dad named her Malaika Faye, which my mom's name was Faye, so Faye's angel in Swahili.
Okay. I'm like, okay, let's pause for a second.
Okay.
Your dad is in Kenya with a 10-year-old, a 6-year-old.
A 5-year-old, a 4-year-old. A
4-year-old, and an infant.
Brand new baby.
And loses his wife.
So how do you feed that baby? How do you take care of a baby in a third world country when mama dies?
Was your mom buried in Kenya?
She is. She's buried in Kenya. Yes.
Wow.
Right across from the elephant sanctuary. If anybody ever goes to Kenya, you go to the elephant sanctuary near Nairobi. There's a graveyard right across, and she's right across from the entrance.
We're going so many places today.
But we are.
One of the fascinating things about your story is the memory you have of your mom. Because you were 6. And you talk about, like you have vivid memories of your mom, right?
She was the most amazing person I've ever known.
Yeah.
Besides Malaika. Because Malaika was just like her.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly like her. Mm.
I can't even imagine what goes on in a husband's heart, in a 6-year-old's heart, like in a 10-year-old's. I mean, these boys that are 4 and 5. Like, yeah, we're talking about God's presence in our suffering.
Yes.
You know, and stories that truly testify that is true. Like, you look back all these years. I'm not going to make you say your age.
It doesn't matter to me. I celebrate my age because I made it here. I didn't ever think I would make it past 30 because that's when my mom died, you know?
You can look all the way 31. Back to being a 6-year-old. And testify that he is present.
Yeah. I never thought of any, I mean, I've never been angry at God. I just never have. I've always, for some reason.
Isn't that beautiful?
And I know it was God. I know it was God, just his presence in my life. It's always been there. Mm-hmm. Like, it's always been there. And I can look back and I can see it so much more clearly even now.
Yeah.
But I never questioned it then.
It's like your mom's parents lived here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then do they come all the way over to?
They never. No.
Mm.
They never. They had a little ceremony in the little town that my mom grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
There, a little memorial for her, but no, they didn't come to Kenya.
Yeah,
we ended up all the kids ended up coming back to America, and my dad ended up staying in Kenya.
Which I want you to tell this part of the story, because when we were having lunch that day, I was like, oh man, this didn't get like, it didn't get good right away.
No. And actually my grandma, my dad's mom, mm-hmm. so poor. Like my dad grew up so poor.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandma had never been out of Arkansas. I don't know. I don't think she'd ever been out of Arkansas, period. That area of Arkansas she lived in. And she got on a plane and came to Kenya. After my mom died. So my grandma Scudder did, not in time for the funeral at all, but
to be there.
She did come, and you know, in
which had to have been a sacrifice on so many levels, like financial, like whatever was going on in her life and responsibilities. And so she comes to Kenya.
Yes.
And then how long were you in Kenya before you?
You know, those are things that I'm not real. I mean, I think we were there. I think we came back to the States in January. I think.
With your dad?
No.
Right.
Daddy stayed there.
Dad stayed there.
Grandma Scudder brought, you know,
Grandma Scudder.
Five kids and this infant. And also, I mean, I just want to mention, too, that there was a missionary couple there, Philden and Janet Allison.
Okay.
And there were a lot of there were several missionary couples there. But Philden and Janet Allison, they had a one-year-old, Martha. Mm. And they are amazing. Mm. They still are on the mission field in Tanzania, Uganda, Kenya, that Mozambique, that area for half the year. And then they're at a little Christian college in Paragould, Arkansas.
Okay.
Crowley's Ridge, half the year teaching. Okay. But they had a one-year-old at that point, and she took Malaika.
Okay.
And nursed Malaika. Yeah. And that made such an impact on me.
Yeah, for sure.
That she took that new baby and nursed her.
Nurtured and nursed and cared.
And then they also took care of us. Yeah. Like, I don't know how long we stayed with them. If it was, you know, I was six, so a year. I mean, not a year, but a week or
2 months.
Like, I don't know how long we stayed with them, but we stayed with the Allisons for a little while.
And then your grandmother brought all five of you back here.
Mm-hmm.
But y'all didn't all five stay here.
We all five stayed here until Daddy came back.
Okay.
And we lived in Searcy for a little while, which is that area is where Daddy is grew up, was Baldwin, Arkansas. But we ended up going back to Kenya. All of us went back to Kenya.
Okay.
And then some real traumatic stuff happened with my stepmother and my older sister.
Because your dad remarried when you were how old?
He remarried when we came back to America with my grandma Scudder.
Uh-huh.
He stayed there and remarried.
So just months after
my mom died. Yeah. He met Grace and he married her. And, and you know, she still lives in Kenya and she comes back to the States. And they had a daughter. So Anna is in the Phoenix area, and she's an amazing psychologist too. My oldest and youngest sisters are both psychologists.
That's amazing.
And they're amazing. Mm-hmm. But, but they had Anna, and then they adopted another son after that. So they're eight of us total.
What's our sibling count right now?
They're eight of us total. But
I told y'all it's a really beautiful sibling photo.
It is beautiful. But she, I don't even know where we were. Daddy was, they came back. We went back to Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
Grace was not, you know, she was not much older than Melinda, to be honest, because Daddy and Mama were 30, 31, and when Mama died. And then Grace was like 24 or 25 when Daddy met her and married her. And so that age difference was
really hard.
Just really hard. And suddenly this 24, 25-year-old woman has...
Mm-hmm.
And she actually had a child too.
Yeah. Wow.
And so,
yeah,
instantly six kids.
Mm-hmm.
And her child wasn't living with her.
That's a lot of kids.
Yeah, it was
wherever you live.
Wherever you are.
But
and whenever you didn't have any children, and then now you all of a sudden have six children.
And we're all going to love each other.
You think you're marrying a rich American and you're marrying a very poor American.
Missionary,
missionary who gets dropped from by the team because he didn't do what they said to do, or they wanted him to come back to America immediately, and he decided to stay. And
it's a lot
because he was 31 and just lost his wife, and that's where her body was. And he's trying to wrap his mind around everything, and you know, none of it was done well or done right, but you can look back at it and just go, none of it was done well or done right. And what could we do to fix it?
And honestly, like I look back on things like that and I'm thinking nothing can prepare. It's almost like nothing can even prepare you for that. So, yeah.
No. Well, so anyway,
remind me, how old were you when you came back to live here? Because you told me you and a couple of your sisters.
So my oldest sister was 14. I was 10. And we came back to the States to live with my grandmother and granddaddy, my mom's parents.
Oh, your mom's parents. Mm-hmm. Okay. And where were they?
They're in Southeast Missouri.
Okay. Southeast. Okay. Yeah. So just so, you and your older sister.
Just me and
my
oldest.
So now you're being separated from the baby sister.
Who my oldest sister raised to that point.
How old was she when your baby sister?
Four.
So she's four, and then you girls are coming here. Your older sisters are coming here. Mm-hmm. I have sisters, and I think that was part of one of the tender parts of your story that I was like, oh, my word, that would be so hard to leave your sister.
It really was so hard to leave all of them. To be separated from them was in a time, like I said, once again, we didn't have FaceTime. We didn't have the modern technology that we have now. Like people in Kenya have cell phones now. I mean, they're in the hut leading worship with their cell phones.
Yeah, it's wild.
To get the words to the songs, just like we do, you know? And it's crazy, but it was just a different time.
Yeah.
Like it was, we were separated, but we always all loved each other so much.
That's so sweet.
Even though.
Oh, well, I would imagine you cherished any moment you got to be together in a way that's different.
We didn't get to be together.
You didn't get to be together.
I didn't see
How many years go by until
James Michael or Andrew for, I think it was 7 years.
Wow.
I think it was 7 years.
Yeah, so then when you get together, you're like almost like strangers at first,
but
except your siblings.
Was, we weren't.
You weren't.
I mean, that's the craziest part is we weren't. I mean, they didn't share letters and things like that that we did send. And I didn't send a lot of letters because I was living this life in America with my grandparents where I had what I needed.
Right.
And a lot of what I wanted, and they were there. And so when I would write things, I felt guilty for sending them
what was going on in
life.
Your life.
Yeah. Because I knew they were living that life of sacrifice where they didn't have, and they were.
Because you were in the States. You went to high school in the States. You went to Harding.
I ended up going, Fred and I went to Freed Hardeman. Yeah.
Freed Hardeman. Okay. Mm-hmm. Y'all went to Freed Hardeman.
Yeah.
And then how did Malaika end up back here?
So when she was college age.
Okay. She came here for
college. She came back for college. And she actually waited a year for our sister, Anna, who was a year younger than her.
And so, they came together. And went to college? Where did they go to college?
Freed Hardeman.
Okay,
Freed. Because Fred and I actually stayed in that area. Mm-hmm. We lived there for 7 years.
So for the first time in your lives, and like since she was born, you're now living close to each other.
Mm-hmm. And it was only for a year. And then we had this job offer back at home in Donovan, where I had graduated from, where Fred and I met.
Yeah.
You know, all of that. And my speech and debate teacher there, they were Christians and we went to church with them. And her husband was the principal at our high school. And anyway, she retired and they needed a new speech and debate teacher. And I felt obligated for all that she had done for me to go, but I didn't realize that abandoning of Malaika, like I was abandoning her to move back that 3 hours
away. Which at that point, do you and Fred have kids?
Yes.
Yeah.
We had all three kids.
All three kids. Mm-hmm. So then you guys move away. She's in college. And Remind me how, then does she meet her husband in college?
She did at Freed Hardeman. Okay. She met her husband. This is the crazy part. Uh-huh. Her husband is 10 years older than her.
Okay.
And he started college and was in that group where you go to before college starts.
Yeah, like y'all kind of like
to bond. I don't
welcome,
remember.
But welcome.
Some welcome something. Group. Yeah. With my oldest what it's sister, called. Melinda. Oh,
wow.
Because Melinda's 10 years older than Malika. So Scott and Malika.
Orientation. That's orientation. The word we're trying to think
there
of.
There you go. He and Melinda were in the same orientation group. Mm-hmm. And so they knew each other really well. And
that's so fun.
Then he got an English degree, I think, first. Mm-hmm. And then Melinda's 4 years older than me, so mm-hmm. graduated. And then he went back to college when I started college at Freed Hardeman.
He was in college with all the sisters.
He was in college with Melinda, and then he was in college with me to get a Bible degree. And now he's an amazing preacher. Yeah. He preaches in Spring Hill, Tennessee.
Okay. And how many kids do they have?
They have three beautiful daughters.
Three daughters.
And one was in her freshman year at college, mm-hmm. the year that Malika got sick and everything. And one was a senior in high school.
Okay, pause for a second because okay. your sister has a story with illness, but so do you.
Yeah, that's
so,
true too.
So which
we do need to go back, don't we?
You were diagnosed before your sister.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? So mm-hmm. do you want to share anything about your diagnosis?
Yeah. Fred and I lived this amazing life, and then we moved, you know, we moved for different jobs. And before even my diagnosis, we moved to a job that God called us to. Mm-hmm. Like we lived in West Plains, Missouri, and we built our dream home, forever home, and all of that. And God called us to this job. And we went to it. Mm-hmm. We followed. Yeah. We both of us knew he was calling us to it. But the minute we settled in there, mm-hmm. spiritual warfare started happening hard.
Yeah.
And so pivoting from the illness part mm-hmm. at all, mm-hmm. we went through a very hard hit of false accusations. And it took, you know, a couple of years for all of that to clear out.
Yeah.
But and we knew, you know, we hadn't done anything mm-hmm. wrong.
Well, you know, I was talking to a friend about this whole conversation, and I was like, what do you think defines suffering? How do we define that well? And she was like, think long going. Think just long. You just said years. It took years.
Years.
And, you know, even thinking about your childhood, that's years of, you know, hard. And then this career job change, and it's years of hard. Mm-hmm. Like, so I kind of want us to even just think for a moment that suffering is ongoing and it's long.
This, I have this written down that I wrote from, I don't even know where this came from. I think it's from Daily Audio Bible, Brian, mm-hmm. who does that. But I think that's who this is from. But it was like, suffering is, you know, when you ask why me, and then you wrestle for the answer mm-hmm. for a long time, mm-hmm. you know, and anyway, that's where you realize that God is faithful and he is good. But you have to go through that suffering.
Right.
To realize all
also,
of that, which is
good reminder that if you're wrestling with God, it means that you're actually close enough with him to wrestle
with him. And I have the whole Fred story too mm-hmm. now. And when all of this stuff is happening with Fred, we're mm-hmm. reading, and you all don't know this yet. I know we're jumping mm-hmm. all over the place, but we'll get there. But, you know, I had started in my Bible reading with, mm-hmm. I'm behind on my Bible reading, and just started with the Job story. Mm-hmm. And exactly what you said, he mm-hmm. had to go through it to get to the point where he realized mm-hmm. God's faithfulness in it.
I just was reading this in Lisa Harper's new book, where she talks about Job getting a promotion, not a demotion. Because the Lord, because he's close enough with the Lord to wrestle with the Lord, and the Lord had confidence that even though it would be really hard, that Job would hang on to who God was and the truth of what, you know, being God's son, you know, his identity being God's son and being the most important thing. So it is just kind of fascinating to think that suffering, although none of us are signing up for it or running, you know, to be the first
in line,
the product of suffering, if, for lack of a better word, is a closeness with the Lord because he is so present to his children. And so
he is.
Yeah. So you guys have gone through something really hard career-wise, and then you're diagnosed.
And then I retired, which I went 3 more years of teaching and then retired, which that was a blessing in itself, just where we were, what we were doing, all of it. It's just amazing where God puts you. But we retired and I turned 50. And I'm telling you, the year I turned 50, my life fell apart. Like, people have said that before. And I'm like, you're crazy. I just don't listen to negative, you know?
Yeah.
But boy, my life fell apart. No. So I was diagnosed. Basically, I went through a year of weird things happening with my body. And then I just got to the point where, and we had just moved to St. Louis. I told you that Fred got that promotion to move to St. Louis and to be the vice president of that company. And it was right after COVID. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we literally moved to signed on our apartment in St. Louis.
Yeah.
The day the world shut down.
Wow.
Like, literally that day.
Mm.
And so it was all during COVID. That next year, my body was doing all this weird stuff. And you know, in that time, you couldn't get a general practitioner. You couldn't get a new doctor. Like, the medical world shut down.
Yes.
And unless it was COVID, they didn't help you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I couldn't get a new general practitioner in St. Louis. Like, I couldn't find anybody.
Yeah.
And I didn't, there just were no resources. And we were living between St. Louis and Alabama at that point. Mm-hmm. Like, so we were going back and forth, couldn't find anybody in Alabama. And we were just so split because we were going both places that.
Yeah.
And it was like, where do I get a doctor? And anyway, I ended up going when everything just got really, really bad. It was amazing how God opened an appointment when I was on my way to a meeting in Tennessee. And I needed to go through the little town that we lived in, Caruthersville, Missouri, which was an amazing little town. And I needed a doctor's appointment at 4 o'clock in the afternoon specifically. And the lady didn't know that whenever I called and said, could I see Dr. Bernard?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, the only time he has today is 4 o'clock. And I was like, my goodness. Like, God, what in the world? Mm-hmm. You are so good. Mm-hmm. Like, and so I ended up going to the doctor's appointment and he was like 80 years old, like literally 82 years old or something. And he knew. Instantly what I had, like, he knew, and he said, you need to go see a neurologist. And so he made an appointment with a neurologist in St. Louis for me. But before I even saw that neurologist, I ended up he ended up seeing my blood work, this doc, and you need to do this blood work. And he ended up sending me to the emergency room because he was like, your hemoglobin is so low that you need blood right now.
Yeah. Wow.
And so I went to the emergency room and anyway, I was within the 2 weeks I was diagnosed with, was in the hospital for 2 weeks. I was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, which is a blood cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up, I mean, God is just, there's so much God in the whole story. Like, he just kept doing things, but it was amazing that we saw that it was God. Like, I look back at that and I'm like, we could have fought it, but we were like, okay, God, what do you need from this?
Yeah.
And what do you need? So I'm in the hospital. I'm in a Barnes Jewish hospital and I have Anthem insurance. And I went to this specific Barnes Jewish Hospital because it was in my network.
Yeah.
The cancer doctors in that hospital, which Barnes Jewish is a major cancer hospital in St. Louis that everybody goes to from all over the world, for that matter. And the cancer doctors fell out of network with my insurance that week.
What?
That week.
Yeah. You're like.
And that week only. But that week.
Wild.
With however they all work and however that process works where they have to get recertified.
Yeah.
They fell out of network with my. And so we, because of that, started looking like where else could we go? And my daughter-in-law, Ashley, our oldest son's wife, you know, our preacher in Alabama, his dad was actually going through multiple myeloma and amyloidosis, which is a relative to multiple myeloma, both. And he went to college with a guy who did an internship at Little Rock, Arkansas. Okay. And so our daughter-in-law was like, have you looked at Little Rock? And basically, there is a multiple myeloma clinic in Little Rock because Sam Walton had multiple myeloma, and he brought all the greatest doctors from around the world to Little Rock, Arkansas for multiple myeloma. So I'm telling you, if you have multiple myeloma, go to Little Rock, Arkansas. Like,
which this is where your story intersects with Patty Rhodes
that
came to Wonder. Because she's from Little Rock.
She's from Little Rock, and we play pickleball, and she plays pickleball, and that was Fred's release while I was sick, and we were in Little Rock for a month at a time, and I know that's overwhelming for people. They're like, you went to Little Rock for a month at a time. How do you do that? Like,
we
found Goodness Village, which is an amazing 501(c) that has 23 apartments, and I mean, this is a God thing, because
God
when I was
care
at
of everything
Freed Hardeman, I prayed for Goodness Village, never knowing, but like the person who started Goodness Village, her sister was Fred's mentor at Freed Hardeman.
Yeah.
And we prayed for it when she was starting it.
It's
and I never knew I would need it 30 years later.
God has seen all of our days.
Think
about that.
Them.
Like while you're in that prayer circle praying for this thing, he's like, yeah, you're going to need that in however many years.
Yeah.
That it's just so sweet to think he really has seen all the days. So we can walk in each day knowing he's present.
He's going to provide.
He's going to give us what we need.
Exactly what
Even
we
if
need
it doesn't
that day.
Look like what we thought it was going to look like.
Ever. It's never going to look like what we thought it was going to look like.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I just remember hearing that part of your story and thinking like, you've already been through a season or multiple seasons of suffering as a kid. Now you are empty nester, you know, just, and then it's like, oh, this isolating time after COVID, being in any kind of medical system, now you're doing treatment, you're not at home, you know, you're again going through a season of suffering.
But they found, you know, all of that, they found my multiple myeloma within 2 weeks. They found like and I had had some back pain and stuff, but all of those things, it happened so quickly. Like it happened so quickly.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have if it had worked out any other way, because I would have gone to this doctor and that doctor and this. So anyway.
So what's the time difference between you going through treatment and then your sister getting a diagnosis?
So
several years.
Basically, I had went through
a couple years.
All of 2022, I was in treatment.
Okay.
Like January, I had one stem cell transplant. April, I had another stem cell transplant. And then after that, I had some major chemo towards the end of the year. So I lost my hair 4 times that year.
Wow.
Every single stitch of it.
Gorgeous hair.
But,
so like, look at that now.
It's crazy.
Wow.
But it was long and straight before. It looked a lot like yours before, like you and Sharon's. But anyway, now it's girly. But it was you know, I had to heal from that because I had been, mm-hmm. my body had been so tortured. And now if I had a relapse, then I would actually do what, who was it on the Wonder, on the...
Sarah Bunch.
Yes.
Yes.
The same treatment that she
go
did.
Go back and listen to last season. Sarah Bunch's story and you'll know what we're talking about.
So, yeah. So I would do a CAR T-cell treatment. Mm-hmm. This now they've got a new thing. So it would be just fine, honestly. But so the end of 2022 and then I'm, you know, healing from that and I'm just getting to the point where I'm feeling normal again. Mm-hmm. And it's fall of 2023 and Malaika's hosting Thanksgiving at her house. And we notice she's not eating anything and she's not got the energy she normally has. And and after that weekend, on Sunday morning, she ended up in the ER and then everything just went crazy. And she had colon like from November, from Thanksgiving until December 10th.
Yeah.
We find out she has colon cancer.
Okay.
And she's basically, you know, given 4 months to live. And she's got the one in college, the one in high school that I talked about. And then she has a 10-year-old.
Yes.
You know,
11-year-old,
like the age I was when I came back from America. I mean, from Kenya.
Mm.
So, three girls, and she ended up doing amazing. She was in a lot of pain, but for the summer, she ended up living through the summer. She was able to see Allie graduate. She was able to. It was amazing. And then she teaches at several camps, which some of the people listening will probably be like, yeah, she taught me at Columbia Academy and she taught me at Horizons at Fried Hardeman and at camp, the camp that they go to. And she was able to go to her camps and go teach at Horizons. Mm-hmm. And then when she went back to school in the fall, she just started being sick again. And then it
just so from the time she's diagnosed till the time she passes away is not a
right after Thanksgiving until September 10th. Today
is September 10th.
Yes.
Which I want y'all to know, like, I'm so thankful that Wendy said yes to sharing her story. We had a whole list of dates we could have recorded this, and the way it all worked out to be on the anniversary date of your sister's death is
special.
It's just special and hard. And good.
Yes.
And you know, Catherine Wolf was one of our speakers at Wonder, and I love she has a word that she made up because she said things are hard and they are good. And so she's it's all one word, good hard. It's just good hard. Today has to be a good hard day.
What I sent to Malaika's daughters this morning and my brothers and sisters is joy and suffering hold hands. Mm-hmm. And today will be forever the hardest day of the year. But it will always be the best day of the year to remember how amazing Malaika's life was.
Yeah.
I mean, she had over 2,000 people at her funeral. Who has over 2,000 people at their funeral?
Do you still wake up some days and think, oh, she's really not here?
Oh, especially that several months after she was gone, I would wake up and need, I remember right after her funeral, the next Monday, I wanted to call her and tell her about her funeral. Mm. Like, and I didn't even realize what I was thinking at that point. I was just like, I need to call Malaika and tell her about all of this. And then I was like, oh, I can't because it was her.
Yeah.
Okay. But it does shock you.
I'm about to ask you a question I've never asked you. So this just kind of happens sometimes when we're recording. But like, have you had any dreams about her since she passed? Or no, it's okay if you haven't. I don't think I have.
I don't know. I don't think I have.
But you still
I don't have any just, that are sticking are with me.
Things that you want to share with her. And then it's almost like your first thought is, I want to share this with her. And then your second thought is, oh, she's not here.
Oh, she's not here. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just that she and my oldest sister are my very best friends.
Yeah. Right.
And
right.
It's just
I've talked about this before with somebody, but it's almost like that loss makes you long for our eternal home all the more.
Yes. Yeah.
And like you have this greater appreciation for, like, you've been a believer your whole life. God's been surrounding you through all of this, you know, and yet it's like with this loss is a greater longing for.
For sure. Right? I mean, and I think that was the way with whenever Mama died, I, you know, just always longed to, I had this weird, I mean, I'm sure my high school friends thought I was crazy and college friends, because I had this weird, you know, I'm okay with death. Like if when it's time to go, it's time to go. And so that with Mama, with Malaika, and even whenever I was diagnosed with my multiple myeloma, I was like, if it's time for me to go, I'm okay with it. Like I'm ready. I'm ready whenever God's ready to take me. But it was really, I don't know what the right word is, but amazing how Malaika never knew my mother.
Yeah.
But there was a peace with her death, even though it was so hard, because we knew they were reunited.
Reunited with her mother.
Yes. Yes. And she, you know, lived her whole life.
It's really sweet.
We celebrated her birthday, but then the next day was the day my mom died. And like I just said, the hardest day of your year.
Yeah.
But joy too, because remembering this amazing person.
Right.
But Malaika always carried guilt.
Sure.
That she was the reason our mom died. And
it's almost like you can sense a sweetness and a kindness of the Lord to take her home, to take her fully home.
Yeah, you know? For sure. Yeah, definitely.
Well, but Wendy, one of the things I really felt like the Lord wanted us to unpack in these stories is, you know, God designed us for community. You said it even that your dad had community when your mom died. But community does play a role in helping us and supporting us. And, you know, sometimes when we can't even know that we need it. But like, how would you say that community has played a role in your life in these seasons? What has been helpful is, I think, what I'm trying to ask.
You know, I think the most important thing was whenever I was diagnosed, it was amazing to see, to be surrounded, like, and just to see people come that I hadn't talked to in years. But
that word, the word surrounded, it just keeps like encompassing.
And I was literally, we were surrounded. When we went through that hard job issue, like God sent people that we didn't know that just spoke to us and surrounded us. Like he sent community for us at that point in time.
Yeah.
It was just amazing.
You can testify to that surrounding every time.
Every single
time. Like when you were 6 years old.
Yes.
6 years old, you see, okay, I remember being surrounded. When you're going through something hard with, or even probably even moving back here with your grandmother, and you're surrounded with hardness in the job, like you're surrounded with your
Fred's
diagnosis.
My grandmother was my fifth grade teacher when I came back from Africa. But those students that I, they came back, they were around me when I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
They came back around me. When I was diagnosed and they heard it, like all of them.
Because you were that connected to
all
them.
All of them.
Yeah.
And we were connected, but we lost each other through those years. Like, but they all came back and every one of them spoke life into me.
Yeah.
But not just them, the people from Fried Hardeman, the people from all of the towns that I lived in, my former students, like, all of the churches we've been a part of, like, it's seriously,
I think when we're speaking
amazing.
Those words, we don't realize the weight that they have to the person that's suffering, you know, like,
yes,
we love the person. And so we want to our hearts want to help, our hearts go out. But those words can be so life-giving to the person that needs them.
And the way God worked through them, like they didn't even realize God was working through them.
Yeah.
Like I would get the exact same scripture from three different people in a day's time. And it was like, okay, God, you needed me to have that scripture today. Like that was the scripture that I needed today.
Yeah.
I would get the same song from two different people.
Yeah.
You know, a Katie Nicole song, God is in this story, or, you know. And I'd never even heard of Katie Nicole before.
Yeah.
And then I get her song from two different people in the same day or two.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like,
that encourages me
so
that
faithful God.
If like, the Lord gives me something or puts a thought in my mind of something to share, to pause and stop and send the song, send the scripture.
Do like, it.
Yes.
Do it. Yes. Like, do it. He did it. He put it in your mind for some reason. Yeah. Do it. That person needs it.
Yeah.
That's but so the beautiful. Other part of that is this, Barbara. If you don't do it, God can make the rocks talk.
That's like, right.
That is what I have learned through all of this. He made a donkey talk.
Yes.
He can make the rocks talk. He can make the trees talk. He can make, he is going to do, he doesn't need us.
Right.
Like people are like,
that's right. That's
he doesn't need us, but he needs us.
That's like, right.
It's all about us. But anyway, yeah.
Well, what would you say then is not helpful? What would you say?
You know what?
Because I want us to learn. I do want us to learn from this.
Like, I can't say what's not helpful because I just take.
Because that's who you are.
Because no, that's who I am. I just take everything that people say as good. Like,
yeah.
So I am not the person to say
we
what is
more
not
Wendy's
helpful.
We need more Wendy's in the world. More Wendy's and Fred's.
I just don't see the negative in things. Like, I just don't. And I respect people who do.
Yeah.
But I'm the person who says the wrong thing all the time because I'm like, that's what got me through. Yeah. Like, what got me through is God's got this. He's in this story. He sees the big tapestry.
That's
we
right.
are just one of those little bitty threads in that tapestry. And our whole life, our whole life is the blink of God's eye.
Yeah.
You know, little Stephen Snell that was on stage Sunday, I taught him in camp.
Oh.
And whenever he was on stage, we weren't here. We were in Alabama, but we were watching online. I was like, that's little Stephen. And I remember teaching about God and that we're the blink of his eye. Like that was the lesson that I was teaching then. And that doesn't even have anything to do with this, but it's just the whole tapestry.
Yeah.
Our whole life is the blink of one. Just imagine that. And so that's always been my belief and where I am and what my mama taught me before she died. And she didn't know she was going to die when I was 6 years old. But
I think this is one reason why you're supposed to be a voice speaking into this is because this has been your whole life. You know, that there has been hard in your whole life and God has still been so close to you that you can see that he is in every detail. You can see that he is working all things, you know, for good.
And that's my verse. Like if
is that your verse?
Verse,
I didn't know that.
Romans 8:28.
But I'm like, when we have to think about like, what is the definition of good? Like, it's not our like earthly definition of good. Good is always driving us towards our eternal home, you know, always reminding us that this is not our home. Eternity is our home with a loving Father. Like, he's working all things for that. And so, I mean, you're one step ahead of me, but we'll share with our listeners as we kind of wrap up, what does that verse mean to you? I'm guessing it's committed to memory. Like,
yes.
How do you sit with that How do you sit with that verse today?
So Romans 8:28 has, I mean, there are so many verses that have encouraged mm-hmm. me through the years. Like, I have just verses all over the place, and my kids made fun of me because I had verses on the wall, mm-hmm. like those letters that you stick onto the wall. Like, but Romans 8:28, I think all things work together for those who love God and are called according to his purpose, just is exactly what it says. Like, mm-hmm. it's going to work together for the good of God. Mm-hmm. Like, there is some reason, whether it's my testimony, whether it's me being able to be there for this one person at this one time, at this one place, just, mm-hmm. just like looking back at all the different jobs where I worked, the places that I worked, I have amazing students there that I love. And then I have amazing friends that have been friends for life mm-hmm. that were made at through those relationships too. And so there's, I can always look back and see, like, mm-hmm. when Kelby was in high school, she read this book, God Winks, by Squire mm-hmm. Rushnell. And I would encourage anybody to read mm-hmm. that, but it's like, nothing's a coincidence.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. every single thing happens for a reason. And my older sister would always say, you're crazy. It doesn't have, not everything happens for yeah. a reason. Like, I don't believe that. Mm-hmm. And I would be, I still believe that. Yeah. Like, I still believe every single thing in our life happens mm-hmm. for a reason. God knew it was going to happen before. And Melinda believes that too. But she went through a time of anger and mm-hmm. and hurt.
And I think God can yeah. hold both.
Exactly.
You know, because it's who he is.
Exactly.
Like, he can hold the child that's like, everything happens for a reason. And he can hold the child that says, I don't know if that's true. You know, it's who he is. And he's always pulling us into his presence. You know, I think that
yeah,
is a beautiful thing to think about. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I have one last question for you.
Okay.
As we wrap up this episode, I just am thinking that your story is going to touch so many people that have entered a season of suffering for the first time. Not that you want this title, but I feel like you're a professional sufferer.
No. Oh, man.
But, like, what would you say to somebody who has just entered a season of suffering for the first time? How would you encourage them?
Man, I would say that I promise mm-hmm. you will look back on this mm-hmm. and you will see God in so many different pieces and parts of it. Mm-hmm. And if you will allow him to, mm-hmm. he will bless you beyond. Mm-hmm. I mean, just what Job mm-hmm. experienced. When you come out on the other side, your blessings will be tenfold. Mm-hmm. And you just, scripture is your best friend.
Yeah.
Like, if you can just get the Daily Audio Bible app mm-hmm. on your phone mm-hmm. and just listen to it and yeah. surround you. When God is present, mm-hmm. the devil can't be.
That's right.
Like, he cannot be there. Mm-hmm. Play it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On your phone, mm-hmm. on your iPad, on somewhere. Just play that yeah. and let it just play through, like, get last year's too, and just mm-hmm. keep playing mm-hmm. playing it, and have that, because those Bible verses and stories are not, they're not Bible characters, they're not right. fake, they really experienced
mm-hmm. yeah
the anything that we're experiencing is not new mm-hmm. it's yeah. happened
yeah.
and it's covered in scripture mm-hmm. honestly
yeah. Well, Wendy, I'm so thankful that you are willing to share your story. I'm so thankful that you are a beautiful, trusted voice to who God is and his presence in our life and how he's holding us. And yeah, I'm just grateful. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me.